This is the day the Lord has made. Let us be glad and rejoice in it. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went away quickly from the tomb, fearful yet overjoyed, and ran to announce the news to his disciples. And behold, Jesus met them on their way and greeted them. They approached, embraced his feet, and did him homage. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me." While they were going, some of the guard went into the city and told the chief priests all that had happened. The chief priests assembled with the elders and took counsel. Then they gave a large sum of money to the soldiers, telling them, "You are to say, 'His disciples came by night and stole him while we were asleep.' And if this gets to the ears of the governor, we will satisfy him and keep you out of trouble." The soldiers took the money and did as they were instructed. And this story has circulated among the Jews to the present day. The Gospel of the Lord. We have just concluded a truly extraordinary Holy Week. And I'd like to hit a few highlights from last week. Indeed, our whole Christian life is nothing but highlights of Holy Week. Because anything good that happens in our lives always flows from the events of that wondrous week. If we sort of step back and survey the liturgical landscape, we'll see that Holy Week is the mountaintop of the whole year, in the sense that everything before it leads up to it, and everything after flows down from it. The Catholic calendar year begins with Advent and the birth of Jesus in Bethlehem at Christmas. That's sort of the spiritual sea level. But the year gradually grows and intensifies through Lent into Holy Week and finally reaches the apex or zenith at the resurrection. That's our spiritual Mount Everest. The rest of the year, we're climbing down as we go through Pentecost, ordinary time, and finally the feast of Christ the King, the Sunday before Advent. That is the larger landscape where we walk. Now let me hit five highlights of the major five moments of Mount Everest. First, Palm Sunday commenced Holy Week with the triumphal entry of Jesus into Jerusalem, the city of David. Our Lord rides in as King, the Son of David, the heir to the throne. But he is a humble king because he's on the back of a donkey. All the triumphalism of Palm Sunday is touched with tragedy, because Jesus knows well where this week will lead: the cruelty of the crucifixion. I love Palm Sunday because the church is packed at all the masses on Palm Sunday. You know, whenever we give something away for free, like palm branches, the people line up for miles to get into church. But I'm glad they come, whatever the motive, because we're cresting the mountaintop. Second, on Monday, we celebrated the Chrism Mass at the cathedral. I love the chance to see all my brother priests in the diocese at the Chrism Mass, whom I don't get to see for most of the year because we're spread out all over the state. Did you know that there are 132 priests serving over 155,000 Catholics in Arkansas? Of those 132 priests, 97 are diocesan like me, and 35 are religious, like the Benedictines, for example. I also learned that the average age of the clergy in our diocese is 49 years old. That's my age. I knew I was an average priest, but I didn't know I was that average. We are blessed with truly holy priests. They're not perfect priests, but they do love the Lord and His people. The priests are like the Sherpas that carry our bags to the top of the mountain. We'd never see the peak without our priests. Thirdly, we celebrated Holy Thursday and the Mass of the Lord's Supper. On that blessed night, the Lord Jesus celebrated Passover like a good Jew would. But He left us two great gifts for the church: the Eucharist, His own body and blood, and the institution of the priesthood. The two are inextricably linked. If there's one thing priests should do well, it is celebrate the Mass, even if we screw up everything else. In virtually every sacristy in the world hangs a little inspirational quotation that reads, "Priest of God, celebrate this Mass as if it were your first Mass, as if it were your last Mass, as if it were your only Mass." That's why I prepare a homily for every Mass. What if this is my last Mass? Every Mass should feel like a mountaintop moment for you. Fourthly, Good Friday and the Passion of our Savior, His saving but also savage death on the cross. Here at IC, we always have an English service at 3 p.m. and a Spanish service starting at 5 p.m. This year, the Spanish service actually took 4 hours. So, of course, I let Father Stephen take it. He truly felt some sacrifice on Good Friday. Even though our service in English is in the middle of the workday, the church was packed. Why? Well, because our people want to crowd onto the mountaintop of Golgotha, where God's love becomes naked for all the world to see. Jesus said in John chapter 15, verse 13, "Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for his friends." And fifthly and finally, Holy Saturday, the Easter Vigil, and Resurrection Sunday. As you know, our beloved former pastor, Monsignor O'Donnell, passed away on Holy Saturday. That lovable and laughing Irishman got the last laugh as he celebrated Good Friday on earth and Easter Sunday in heaven. Also at the Easter Vigil, which Father Stephen flawlessly conducted, we welcomed 21 new Catholics into the fold. I am sure they all feel like they are standing on the mountaintop. My friends, as we begin our descent down the mountain, don't forget where you have been this past week on Mount Everest. Remember the mountaintop moments when you are walking through the Valley of Tears. Praised be Jesus Christ.